Radio Daily for finally Fracking Friday. And oh yeah, let's get this shit done so we can jump in the car and go to congregate. What? Woo. That's right, it's happening. It is Friday the 13th of July. Dun dun dun. I'm gonna skip all obvious camp counselor jokes, but if you want to have premarital sex, we can talk. It's fine. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy, crazy kinds of places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that's going to ask you the same question every time you see him this weekend, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I'm sorry, can I offer you a drink? How about this expensive prostitute?
Whoa, you're going all out there. Hey, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I want Billy Flynn.
Which is what everyone's going to be saying all weekend long. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, sir?
Look, I have to do something. I have no actual serviceable skills or marketable skills. I got to do what I got to do to keep showing up at cons. In 1781, Jonathan Carter Hornblower patents the first compound steam engine.
1836, Senator John Ruggles, who will later be dubbed the father of U.S. Patent Office for his extensive contributions to patent legislation, receives patent number one from the U.S. Patent Office because Hornblower is an American, if 1781 didn't clue you in on that.
1866, the Great Eastern embarks on a two-week voyage to complete 12 years of efforts to lay a telegraph cable across the Atlantic Ocean between Britain and the United States.
Sure, honey, I'll get it done as soon as I get off of work. 1880, Stephen D. Field of New York City has issued a patent for propelling railway cars by electromagnetism.
1882, gunfighter Johnny Ringo is found dead in West Turkey Creek Valley in Arizona Territory. His actual killer is unknown, but rumors abound that it could have been Michael O'Rourke, Frank Leslie, Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, or Val Kilmer.
Or all of them. Dun, dun, dun. 1897, Guglielmo Marconi receives a patent on the process of transmitting electrical signals, which will lead to the development of a wireless telegraph system.
1919, the first lighter-than-air transatlantic flight is successfully completed.
1945, the first atomic bomb arrives partly assembled at its New Mexican test site on Friday the 13th, and Bob is born shortly thereafter.
1960, 20th Century Fox releases a sci-fi adventure film, The Lost World, directed by Irwin Allen and starring Michael Rennie, Jill St. John, David Hedison, Claude Rains, and Fernando Lamas. The film is based on the novel of the same name by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
1972, the Japanese sci-fi film The X from Outer Space is released to theaters in Europe. It's also known as The Hidden Treasure from Outer Space.
That is true. And DMX did a song about it. 1977, United Artists releases the spy thriller The Spy Who Loved Me, directed by Lewis Gilbert, starring Roger Moore's James Bond, Barbara Bach, Kurt Jurgens, Richard Kyle, and is released in U.S. theaters 6 days after its U.K. release. It's the 10th film in the James Bond series and the third to star Roger Moore in the role of 007.
1983, MVS Amusements Incorporated of Indianapolis hosts a barbecue to introduce its new Star Wars coin-operated arcade game from Atari. Over 75 arcade operators attend the event. Because they made good burgers.
1984, Universal Studios releases the science fiction film The Last Starfighter, directed by Nick Castle, and starring Lance Guest, Robert Preston, Catherine Mary Stewart, and Dan O'Hurley. One of the first movies to make extensive use of CGI effects.
1995, the NASA spacecraft Galileo launches a probe towards Jupiter that will become the first Earth probe to penetrate the atmosphere of one of the gas giants.
Ooh, sounds naughty. 2005, at the Tokyo International Forum, Fujitsu unveils the world's first film substrate-based bendable color electronic paper. The thin and flexible electronic paper uses very low power to change screen images that remains visible without the use of further electricity.
2006, a full-scale version of Twitter, the first microblogging service, is publicly launched by Jack Dorsey, Evan Williams, and Biz Stone. You know what it said. I ain't telling you.
2012, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange requested asylum in London's Ecuadorian embassy for fear of extradition to the U.S. after publication of previously classified documents, including footage of civilian killings by the U.S. Army.
Wow. Remember when they were kind of good guys? Birthdays?
Ken Jeong, 49 years old, from What's It Gonna Be, The Hangover, Role Models. Of course, I loved him in Community, and he's no longer a licensed doctor only because his license has expired.
Tom Kenny is 56 from Mr. Show, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Powerpuff Girls, and a million other things.
Adventure Time? He plays the Ice King. And, of course, from Shakes a Clown.
Oh,
Cheech
sorry.
Marin, 72 years old. Cheech and Chong Flicks. I'm not sure which one he was. Fern Gully, Lion King, and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Erno Rubik is 74. He invented the Erno Cube.
he was going to do the Sphere, but Harrison Ford is 76 years old from
Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Blade Runner, Anakin.
Robert Forster is 77 from The Black Hole, Alligator, Heroes. You saw him in D-Wars, which is not what you think.
78 years old, Sir Patrick Stewart from Dune, Life Force, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Jeffrey, X-Men, Blunt Talk, which is a fantastic series. Pictures of him in a lobster suit.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1913. Kay Lineker, who wrote The Blob.
And 1928, Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes and was a huge fan of taking schmiley pictures.
And well, he would have got more done, but he was always tied up.
On CBS, we've got a new whistleblower. Congratulations, Julian Assange. Rerun of Hawaii 50 and Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a new Quantico. What would you do in 2020?
NBC has a rerun of American Ninja Warrior and Dateline.
Fox, it's a rerun of The Resident and The Orville, which got to be coming back soon, right?
Yeah. CW has two new Masters of Illusion.
AMC says get busy living, get busy dying. It's The Shawshank Redemption. I think that quote's from there.
A&E has All About My Friend Andy Dufresne on a new live PD.
CMT will be showing Grumpy Old Men, which is later after they've been there for a while and denied parole a few times.
FX has Jurassic World.
FXX has Simpsons, The Man Who Came to Dinner, Walking Big and Tall, and Sky Police, a division of Space Force.
FXM, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. We've got Terminator Genisys.
On History Channel, it's Evil Live Enhanced. The guy whose name Robbie somebody, I forgot, is going to try to do the Caesar Palace fountain jump live and hopefully do just as well as Evel Knievel did.
Paramount celebrating the day properly. They've got Friday the 13th. Well, part two.
That arguably the best film in the series. Not the most entertaining, but the best. Sci-Fi Channel has a Harry Potter marathon.
Fitting. TBS has Batman 5 Superman.
TNT will be showing Hercules, Hercules.
True TV has new Rachel Dratch's late night snack.
And this time I hope it's cheese fries, because I really like a good cheese fry. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after an accident leaves a woman injured, a young and attractive live-in caregiver moves into her home. Then mysterious and dangerous events transpire. The lady finds out her caregiver is determined to destroy her life. Nicole Hayden, Camelia Bonas star in Killer Caregiver.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Gabby supports Abby. Wait, Gabby's the dad? That is a mysterious illness. Stefan puts pressure on Kate, and Ted sits in a corner and watches. Y'all weird. Teresa is furious when Brady gains the upper hand in the custody battle. Jodie Foster says Brady is her choice. JJ makes a stunning announcement. I am giving up spin classes for Zumba. Come take my first class at Camp Crystal Lake. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Dear guys, on your show concerning the TV show Take Two, you were wondering if it's a game show. I hate to say it, but no. It's a version of Castle, where an actress fresh out of rehab gets to play a PI in a movie, so she follows a PI to get into her role for the movie. She follows an ex of her manager who was a PI. The cast has Rachel Bilson of the OC fame playing said actress. So until they come up with new shows without making them being other versions of old ones, make mine GRD. That's from Jonathan in Birmingham. Well, fantastic, Jonathan. That means you're going to be a lifelong listener, because they're never going to stop doing that. And I'm pretty sure Castle wasn't the first one to try that concept. I'd have to look around. I mean, it's sort of a Remington Steele vibe, but not exactly the same. Either way, if you know of other TV show ripoffs, let us know, please. We hate them just as much as you. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could always act one out. Ooh, by sending in a voicemail with said acting out nonsense to
510-GRD-CROW.
And that would really be the best for everyone involved.
Looking to let your inner geek out for an exciting weekend of fun? What could be better than attending Congregate 5? A fan-run sci-fi and fantasy convention in High Point, North Carolina. Coming up July 13th through the 15th, 2018, with something to offer everyone, including chance to meet and interact with best-selling authors and guests of honor, Jane Linscold and Charles E. Gannett. Panel discussions on a variety of topics, fan group meetups, live performances, costume contest, writing workshops, gaming, and more. It's the convention to attend. For more information and memberships, visit www.con-cregate.com. www.con-cregate.com. July 13th through the 15th, 2018. Congregate.com.
I am Joe Lansdale, and I'm here to say you need to listen to Geek Radio Daily.
And whatever Joe Lansdale says to do, by God, you do it. That's simple. So, if you're not going to congregate with us, maybe you're going to go see a film.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Indeed. So, here's your options. What can we line up for, sir? What's going to be the overpriced entertainment for tonight?
Well, an American travels to Russia to sell rare blue diamonds of questionable origin. As the deal begins to collapse, he falls into an obsessive relationship with a Russian cafe owner in a small Siberian town. As their passion builds, so does the treacherous world of the diamond trade, from which he is unable to extricate himself. Both collide as the American man desperately looks for escape in a world with no exit. Pasha Lynchnikov, Anna Aloru, and Keanu Reeves in Siberia.
13-year-old Kayla endures the tidal wave of contemporary suburban adolescence as she makes her way through the last week of middle school, the end of her thus far disastrous eighth grade year, before she begins high school. Elsie Fisher, Josh Hamilton, Emily Robinson star in Eighth Grade, or My So-Called Life, but we'll change the name.
Two misfit brothers hustle cash and chase dreams in the desert. When a mysterious woman threatens to repo their beloved houseboat in the desert, the brothers cook up an epic con to finally leave their dusty town and sail off on a beam of sunshine to California. Justin Chatwin, Lou Taylor Poochie, and Amanda Crew in Poor Boy.
Poochie's in this? Nationwide, FBI hostage rescue team leader and U.S. war veteran Will Sawyer, who now assesses security for skyscrapers, is on assignment in China, and he finds the tallest, safest building in the world suddenly ablaze, and he's been framed for it. A wanted man on the run. Will must find those responsible, clear his name, and somehow rescue his family who is trapped inside the building above the fire line. Dwayne Johnson, Nev Campbell, Chin Han star in the movie that isn't Die Hard, but Skyscraper.
It's like Die Hard in a building. Follow the favorite monster family as they embark on a vacation on a luxury monster cruise so Drac can take a summer vacation from providing everyone else's vacation at the hotel. What? It's smooth sailing for Drac's pack as the monsters indulge in all of the shipboard fun the cruise has to offer, from monster volleyball to exotic excursions and catching up on their moon tans. But the dream vacation turns into a nightmare when Mavis realizes Drac has fallen for the mysterious captain of the ship, Erica, who hides a dangerous secret that could destroy all of monster kind. Adam Sandler, Selena Gomez, and Andy Samberg in Hotel Cal... Nope.
There's a Freudian slip for you. Hotel Transylvania 3, get the ship out.
But if Hotel Transylvania or California 3 isn't scary enough for you, then make sure your life insurance is paid up, because Svengoolie has enough screams to make you cash in. Follow Luther Heggs, an aspiring reporter for a small town newspaper. He gets his big break when the editor asks him to spend the night at the Simmons Mansion that 20 years before was the site of a now famous murder-suicide. See Joan Staley, Dick Sargent, and the Master of the Macabre. Don Knotts in The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. MGM has hired the director of District 9 and the guy who was supposed to direct the Halo movie 10 years ago, Neil Blomkamp, to make a film called RoboCop Returns, a sort of sequel reboot to the original 1987 Paul Verhoeven film, and unrelated to the 2014 remake, which means I will automatically watch it. Justin Rhodes, from whatever Terminator 6 is called, is rewriting a script by Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner, who wrote the original film. They wrote a sequel script to the original RoboCop, but there was a writer's strike, then Paul Verhoeven's like, I don't care anymore. Two unrelated sequels, a cartoon, that weird TV show, and a strange run-in at a WCW pay-per-view followed. Years later came the 2014 reboot, and none of those told the story of the original follow-up idea, and that's been lingering until now. The plot goes like this. Anarchy reigns, and the fate of Detroit hangs in the balance as RoboCop makes his triumphant return to fight crime and corruption. It's unclear if it's a direct sequel, a straight reboot, a bit of both, but it does seem like the latter.
Wait, so no cyberpunk ninjas?
There damn well better not be. If they get it squared away, we could have an interesting RoboCop flick in theaters again, maybe in a year or two.
I don't know. I've been burned before, man. I don't know if I want to go.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Sorry, you gotta go.
Over the past few years, Rob Liefeld has become successful with the popularization of Deadpool, who is inarguably his best-known creation, even though his Deadpool is not the one we know and love. But that's not to say that Deadpool was his only creation.
Right? Remember that woman with thighs larger than her abdomen? Or the Captain America who was like really top-heavy and didn't have a spine?
I mean the characters and not his penchant for making nightmare creatures of your favorite heroes with weird feet. Now, Studio 8 has acquired one of his other creations, Prophet. Studio 8 plans to build a franchise around the title character, John Prophet, a DNA-enhanced super soldier placed into a cryogenic freeze for a future mission only to be awakened in the wrong time, or current time as it is, searching for a mission that does not exist. He's a ruthless berserker that must find his humanity.
So, the Captain America he always wanted. With a spine, though.
Yeah, and normal feet, I guess. Prophet came from the pages of another Liefeld bestseller, Youngblood. Catching fire with fans, John Prophet was awarded his own popular showcase, launching a series of his own in 1993. Prophet achieved critical acclaim as well as crossing over for a team-up with Liefeld's popular Marvel creation Cable in a definitive storyline. Casting will begin as soon as they can find women with broken spines, torpedo boobs, and stiletto feet to play his idea of what people look like.
You're a collector. You like one-of-a-kind items. Do you have 23 million of anything lying around?
Hut Slayer Leia figures, sure.
What about cash, though? Because here's something you can't pass up. Legendary architect Frank Lloyd Wright and his iconic Ennis House located in Southern California is on sale for $23 million after an extensive restoration. Constructed in 1924, the residence is defined by its temple-like aesthetic, sits on a 36,000-square-foot plot in L.A.'s serene Los Feliz district, beautiful ravines, hills, and forests. With the house measuring 5,500 square feet, the residence utilizes Wright's signature textile block designs and incorporates 27,000 of those interlocking blocks, which were precast in concrete using molds with Mayan-style refills. This distinctive style essentially reflects the structure itself, as its overall volume looks like a Mayan temple.
And to think I only knew him for his musicals.
Right? The Ennis House is included in the National Register of Historic Places, got added in 71. Prominently featured in classic films like The House on Haunted Hill, Blade Runner, The Rocketeer, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Star Trek The Next Generation, and of course, immortalized in Karate Kid 3. If you've got the money to blow, buy this. Or become the most super Patreon person ever. Check it out over at GeekRadioDaily.com. And we'll even get a gift bag ready. Just for you.
The next chapter in the Stan Lee saga looks a little brighter. Stan Lee's personal and professional well-being has been in question for months, but some things seem to finally be settling down. Just 2 days after Lee announced he was dropping his $1 billion lawsuit against POW, purveyors of Wonder Entertainment, the company has announced it's once again running Lee's Twitter account. In a statement on Lee's website, POW Entertainment, a media production company that Marvel mainstay co-founded with Gil Champion and Arthur Lieberman, revealed that it had temporarily lost control of the comic book legend's Twitter account and the situation has now been rectified. Recently, access and management of the Twitter account was temporarily out of our and Stan's control. That situation has now been rectified. Stan Lee's social media accounts are once again being exclusively managed by POW with Stan's participation. The statement didn't get into specifics, but there have been ongoing reports about the happenings around Lee for a while. In April, Lee resurfaced on Twitter after a battle with pneumonia to threaten lawsuits against anyone besmirching him or then-manager Kia Morgan. A tweet from Lee's verified Twitter account alleged his Facebook and Instagram had been hijacked by people impersonating him. The Twitter account, and through it, Lee himself, never specified POW was the entity that hacked or hijacked his other social media pages. POW's representatives wrote it had for years solely managed the real Stan Lee Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts, as well as the Facebook page Real Stan Lee with Stan's participation and approval. As far as why the company hasn't deleted any of those tweets, that were sent during the months it claimed it didn't have control, it says there's a reason for that. Some of the questionable material referred to above will remain in Stan's timelines and social media feeds. For now, these posts will not be deleted for reasons that will become obvious over time, the statement concluded.
Obvious how?
Well, I'm glad you asked. See, most people would think it's something to do with legal repercussions so that way they can track IPs and whatnot. But I think that what they're doing is they're going to lull the real villain into a false sense of security, and they will finally be able to narrow down the IP address to hammer down the chameleon.
Oh, my God. Walmart just patented a new technology meant to monitor employee productivity via audio surveillance of the checkout counters. The technology, which Walmart calls listening to the front end, aims to increase employee efficiency by using sensors to monitor sounds that can indicate how long lines are, how many bags are being used, and, most unnervingly, conversations among employees or between employees and customers. Now, right now, it's just a patent. We don't know that if Walmart is ever going to develop it, but it shows they are following in Amazon's footsteps when it comes to finding new and inventive methods of invasive employee surveillance. Based on this application, Walmart's patented surveillance system could use a series of sensors in the cashier to collect audio data covering everything from beeps to rustling noises to conversations between guests and employees. It would then analyze this information and use it to calculate various performance metrics for its employees. The most incredibly invasive part is the whole customers and guests talking to see if they're interacting and even to listen to what they're saying. A quote, if, however, the performance metrics is based on the content of the conversations, whatever. It's creepy, man, especially from a retail giant known for its terrible abuses of its underpaid employees. But according to Ifeanyi Ajunawa, an assistant professor at Cornell's Industrial and Labor Relations School, there's nothing in labor laws that prevents this kind of practice. Though there are some legitimate reasons why a company might want to listen to its employees, the risks for abuse are great. A spokesperson says, the sound recording is helpful for determining if the line is long, lets automatically open a new cash register. But then there's potential for omission creep, which is more like as a cashier, you're too friendly, you're talking too much, you're not moving people along enough. Look, surveillance of this kind is known to actually make employee productivity worse. Shame that they can't have a union to protect them. Look, there's an easy way to prevent this. They have 30 damn registers and only two of them are ever open. So just have a supervisor, look and see if they need to do something. Sadly, they do not do things that way at Walmart. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Did I give away how I feel about them with that? I'm not sure I did.
What I'm surprised is that a dead horse can still make a sound.
Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And hey,
we need to get a different drop that just goes...
Right? Oh, we get the one from Half Baked where the horse falls over after eating? That'd be fantastic. You want something to eat, girl? Screw you. Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong thing. Here's your question for the week. You can, why not tell us how great we were at Congregate? Drop us a note telling how much you loved us, especially if you weren't there, because I'd love to hear the best story of something we may not actually have done. Find it. Do it. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send that voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
We're going to go party.
And that's the end.
We're the Pink Panthers. We're part of a patrol to prevent gay bashing. It was Darius's idea to join up.
I wanted to do something.
Something with a t-shirt. Don't you just love it?
Oh, look. The gay pride statues.
Come on.
Carla, think about it.
Stop it. You're not fat. So, Jeffrey.
How was your date?
Where's Steve?
I had to cancel. I just got a flu.
Did you call him?
Of course. Left a message on his machine.
Left a message. Would you call him again?
Pink Panthers. Oh, hello, darling.
Is someone in trouble?
Really? No. Oh, no.
What?
We must get over to Washington Square right away. It's Todd, that huge bodybuilder from the gym.
No, not Todd.
In shorts.
Huh?
Call him.
He's a doll. Taxi.